Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
Hey, I'm Holland Roden.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Poncio.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hi, I'm Dylan Sprayberry.
This is Megan Tandy.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Woo!
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.
Welcome back to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, episode 111. We're here today to talk about another new piece of season 5 information, potentially, after our episode, you know, talking about the Circles of Hell and the trailer. Since then, we have been gifted with, the fandom has been gifted with a gigantic oil painting fresco. Is it technically a fresco? Can we call it a fresco? A fresco is technically painted onto a wall and you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. A ye olde oil painting focusing a gigantic pile of dead bodies, basically. Everyone you've ever known and loved. Is in this painting dead, you know, probably, you know, your sister, you know, your childhood best friend, everyone that you love. Lin-Manuel Miranda's probably in there somewhere. You know, everyone you have ever come to know and love is in this pile of dead bodies, basically, or at least everyone in the Teen Wolf world. Karen and I are here today to talk about that and to break down who all of these bodies might be, and I keep zooming in on different parts and finding new and horrible things. So yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always reach us on our Twitter, which is NATW Podcast. You can email us with any feedback on natwpodcast@gmail.com. You can join us on Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com, or you can comment on this post or any Teen Wolf article on Hyperbole, which we will be checking as well on our host website. So I will pass over to my co-host Karen, who wrote a very in-depth article about the fresco, basically, and how it came together and how we discovered, you know, what was in it and how we discovered all of the pieces. But yeah, there's pretty much horror at every turn, but it is very beautifully done piece of work. I don't know if it was done digitally or not, but it actually looks like real oils, and I can't imagine what this would have been like doing this in person. It's very detailed, so it may be a digitally produced piece of work. I don't know, but I keep scrolling and seeing lots of nice dead things, including little animals, which makes me sad. And I don't know if every single body is meant to have a meaning, but there's certainly a lot that do. So, Karen, how do you want to start talking about this?
Oh boy, yeah, there's a lot to talk about. I suppose let's start at the beginning, shall we?
Yeah.
We ended up getting a DM on Twitter from the official Teen Wolf Twitter account, and it was just this picture of like a blue in different shades. There was nothing in our piece, and they were like, this is 11 out of 100, and I'm like, guys, cool. What even is this?
Yeah,
I was so confused. And then other people started being like, I just got this thing from the official Teen Wolf account, what is going on? We figured out that they were essentially puzzle pieces that we had to put together as a fandom into a 100 piece, what ended up being a horrifically beautiful fresco. So that was exciting. I think it took us about a little over 24 hours. Yeah. And Amy and Betts, who run HowlerCon, sort of were the go-to people to organize this. They put together a Google Doc, and everyone sent them their pieces, and they started putting them in the correct places. And it came together pretty quickly once people figured out what was going on and we started tracking everybody down. And then, you know, our last couple of pieces kind of eluded us until they found them. But it was pretty interesting. And not going to lie, I really like what Teen Wolf is doing ahead of season 5B, getting people to track down different things to lead them to either the trailer or this fresco, which has a lot of stuff to look at. So we're going to do our best to break it all down, but I'm sure we're not going to get everything because it is very detailed.
Just got on the high res one and I'm just like scrolling through it. So
Yeah. There's a lot there, but let's start with the heroes. Cause I feel like, first of all, that's sort of the center point. Also, let me just pause here. Commercial break. I have a degree in art history, so this is like the best thing that's ever happened to me because wow. It's Teen Wolf and art history type stuff. Like, this is what I thought I wanted to do as a job for the rest of my life, which I have not done, FYI, but I still really like it. So this is very exciting and nerdy for me.
I just turned up the brightness on my computer, like, to look at probably brighter than it's meant to exist, but so that I can pick out, like, a lot of things.
All right, so, yeah, we're going to take this person by person, the big ones, and then we'll break it down to heroes, villains, and then other little details that we want to talk about. But the first one and the centerpiece of the painting is Scott. And all of our heroes are a little bit, like, in the spotlight. They're a little bit brighter than some of the other places. And Scott is definitely meant to be, like, the focal point. He's a little more dynamic than everybody else. And he's climbing over some dead bodies, which, again, horrific. But he's reaching out toward, like, the audience, the camera, if you will. Do you think he's, like, reaching out toward anything or someone? Like, what are we meant to believe this whole painting is actually trying to tell us, like, as a whole?
I don't know whether the painting as a whole is trying to tell us that it's, like that this is kind of some sort of symbolism for the season or if it's just a nice thing, if you know what I mean. But, ew, has that wolf got its eyes ripped out? That's gross. I really love I love the style of this. I love the animals painted into it as well. Like, there's lots of bits of, I don't know, people, you know, either cuddling their spirit forms or just wolves in general. Like, there's another, you know, we'll get to Kira that, but there's quite a few different people that I like, and there's a few that I've, it's one that I've theorized is Derek, and I think that the dead person right below Scott might be Isaac as well. I don't know if they're allowed to show the faces properly of the people that are no longer in the show, but this one, not the one that Scott's got his hand on, but the one that he's kind of got his knee on below, do you see? I think that that is Isaac. Scott reaching out, I think that it's like, it's the kind of reach, the look on his face and the kind of way he's, it's kind of the way that you like signal to someone. I don't know if you're lost at sea, like, you know, like if someone says, hey, I'm over here, that's like, I'm here, that's the kind of body language that he has on his face and in his hand, so that's kind of what I'd get from that, but I don't know, it could be anything, like, you know what I mean, like, if someone, you know, if you're kind of bobbing in the sea and the boat is looking around for you, you're like, I'm here, it's that kind of reach and that kind of wave, I guess, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, except the sea is a sea of dead bodies in this instance, but yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I kind of saw it as, like, he sees the one glimmer of hope and he's sort of reaching out to it to see if he can grab onto it. It definitely, I do think that he's like, he sees somebody and that he's trying. Yeah. Yeah. And he's definitely trying to like get out from underneath this weight of dead bodies.
Fun.
But the interesting thing here is like a lot of the other characters, like, definitely the majority of them, almost all of them appear dead, even some of the main characters. Scott obviously is very much alive, and so is Styles. Styles is also alive. He's sort of looking off in kind of the same general direction as Scott, but he also has his hand on the sheriff, who definitely does not look alive.
Yeah, he does not look super, super well. But, I mean, who can tell at this point? Like, you know, pretty much everyone's dead. I don't think all of these people are going to die in Season 5B. The ones that are displayed here is dead. But I honestly don't know. Certainly most of them don't have their eyes open. But I would disagree that he's looking in the same direction as Scott. I think that he's maybe, I don't know. To me, he looks like he's looking off another way and in a different direction. But I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's true, because
Malia is more looking in the same, like, from her angle, is looking towards the same thing as Scott, and Styles is a bit off in the distance, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, because when you look at Scott, it almost looks like he's looking into your eyes, whereas Styles is definitely, like, looking out of the corner of his eyes, which would be, like, way off to, like, my right-hand side. But, which could also be interesting, because whereas I think Scott looks hopeful, Styles definitely looks worried.
Yeah, he doesn't look as pumped to be there as anyone else. Like no one looks pumped to be there. Kind of, he just looks kind of scared and desperate. I wouldn't say that he's, you know, in the same circumstance as Scott, basically.
Right. And you mentioned Malia, who is right next in off to the right of Styles and his father. She looks like she's either dead or dying. Somebody's got their hand around her neck and she's kind of laying down and she's grasping, you know, at the claws around her neck. And I have no idea who this figure choking her is meant to be. The only logical connection I can make is that it's her mother, but I don't know for sure if that's what it is. I don't know if anybody else would necessarily have the motive right now to kill her. But it definitely looks female, and she definitely has claws.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, do we even know if her mother is supernatural at this point? Like, or if she's just, like, if she's against the super... Yeah, just because she's called the Desert Wolf don't mean nothing.
But she's... Isn't she a were-coyote?
Have they actually said that?
Specifically?
We've never heard that at all.
I'm trying to think back to the conversation that Peter and Malia were having where everything was sort of, like, revealed.
I honestly don't remember, but I'm going to very quickly look about what we know about her. Just give me a second. As far as I know, you know, she's called the Desert Wolf, and a coyote might be, you know, what we refer to as a Desert Wolf. Okay, Wikipedia does say she's a were coyote, but I'm honestly not 100% sure if that's just an assumption, like, or if that's actually properly canon. Again, I really don't remember any mention of it 100% being true. Not that it matters, but I am kind of wondering if it's actually avoided on purpose, if even the wiki, which is not necessarily official, is actually accurate. Because, yeah, we know that she's called the Desert Wolf. We know that she's Malia's mother. We know Malia's a were-coyote. You know, you'd put the things together, you know, two plus two makes four. However, we have actually nothing to prove that. It could be, they could be putting us off on purpose. You know what I mean? You know, not that I know why, but they could be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who else would want to kill her, especially since the main part of the Desert Wolf story right now is the fact that she does want to kill Malia. So I think it would be logical to assume that that's Malia's mother there.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this painting, oddly enough, is Kira's section, which is really sad because it's quite tragic, I think. She's lying down. She's sort of staring with her dead-eyed stare outward, and her katana is through a fox. I think it's, you know, supposed to be this representation of not only her death as a kitsune, but maybe like her fox spirit's death. And we know she's going to be dealing a lot with that in 5B, kind of getting that under control again, going out into the desert with her mom and figuring out what exactly is going on with the fox spirit. But it's just, I really like she's very typically Kira right now, like her clothes, her skirt, her high socks and her boots and everything. And then she's just got this like dead fox laying next to her. It's kind of sad, but I also just really like it.
Yeah, I really like all of the animal interpretations in this, actually. Like, there's quite a few that are, like, you know, dead, or maybe they're just sleeping, who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's one over on the other side that I don't know, there's quite a few. Like, there's a little one just below the Jeep, and there's another one somewhere else, like wolves and stuff with people, and I don't know if it's meant to represent the spirit, especially the spirit of like born shapeshifters like Kira. Like, I've kind of theorized this other one is Derek. I think that they're not necessarily painting in people that aren't currently on the show, but it is quite quite sad. But she's definitely I mean, she's got her eyes open and stuff. I don't know if there's a difference between the people who've got their eyes open and the people that don't. But do you think that Kira is kind of in the market for getting her kitsune removed completely? Like, if it's been such a problem, like, do you think that she'd actually permanently, like, maybe become not one, either through choice or through, you know, forced circumstance? Is that even
honestly
possible? It came and went with styles, like, it, you know.
Right. I mean, I would say that it's possible, but I don't think she would do that. I think that she would work on living harmoniously with it more than anything. We know her mother has hundreds of years of experience as a kitsune, and I feel like her mother would help her control the fox spirit and use it to her advantage, because it does give Kira lots of advantages. You know, she's able to pick up on sword fighting very quickly, and she's got some other stuff going for her. And I think as a character, if from the moment we met her, she's been very interested in this world, in spirits and mythology. She loved the fact that Scott was a werewolf. I think she would want to stay who she is, and I think she would want to help the pack.
I'd hope so. Like, you know, by choice, I'm not sure if it'll happen, you know, without choice. But, you know, the stabbing the fox spirit with her own katana seems quite ominous. So, not like anything else in this painting is ominous or anything, but, you know.
Next we have Lydia. And I'm looking at Lydia probably closer than I have before. And she's laying on the slab of concrete. I mean, I guess we should say it looks like everybody's in a pile around, like, the school. And there's the Eichen House
broken school sign as well.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of brick and stuff like that. And, I mean, the Eichen House sign is in the background, but I think this is sort of meant to be, like, the school. And Lydia is laying on a slab of, like, concrete or something. And she's got on, like, that robe we saw her in in the premiere for season 5. So I think this is, like, Eichen House garb.
The thing that her grandmother drilled into her head is there, you know?
Yes. And I thought that was hair across her face at first. But I'm seeing now that, like, it looks like her nose is bleeding. And also, if they did, like, the trepanation thing, if they drilled a hole in her head, which we've seen in the trailer, they're possibly doing that, could possibly be doing that. I think this is blood across her face.
I think it's blood, but I think it looks more like what her grandmother did, you know, the suicide thing.
Well, in the trailer, though, we saw Valak trying to drill into her head.
But they wouldn't do, like, just to be technical, they wouldn't do trepanation in the temple. Was he trying to drill into the temple, or was he trying to drill into, like, the top of her head? Do you know? Because the temple thing expressly reminds me of, like, her grandmother's, like, suicide attempt in the bath.
Yeah.
Whereas real life trepanation is done in the top of the skull. Like, you know, and obviously Valix is the third eye thing in the front of his head. But yeah, going through the temple's definitely going to kill you. And that's not the point of trepanation. If anyone wants actual details on the real aspect of that, it is a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe it could have been more of like a symbol thing where they didn't want to show her necessarily like having a third eye or something like that. So I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, Valak, he's kind of up the top of the painting. I think it's him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Near a man who's got spots. And near the Nagitsune as well. So I think that's meant to be Valak.
Yeah, because you can see. Yeah,
I
do.
He's got a hole, but like, you know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's meant to be him.
Some of these people have got some real nice, disgusting illnesses all over them and stuff like that. Like the guy next to him that has those, whatever, those brown, spotty diseases.
They look like bugs to me.
Yeah. That's unpleasant. But yeah.
We also have Liam to kind of continue with our heroes. I didn't know this was Liam at first. It doesn't really look like Liam to me. But, you know, I mean, these aren't like exactly super accurate anyway. I think it's supposed to be like a quick painting type of thing. But we have Liam sort of sitting up. He does not look well. He's slashed across the chest. And I don't really know if there's anything directly tied to him. We've got some bugs, potentially fireflies or moths, like the bugs that attacked all those people, like in the car and the girls camping and stuff like that. Could be that, but I'm not seeing anything else that like gives us a clue, a further clue into like what could have happened to him other than he just kind of looks like he was attacked.
Yeah, let me pull him up again for a second. Yeah, I'm curious about, like, what the significance is of, like, people who have their eyes open versus closed, if you know what I mean, as well. Like, that's a big thing that I've gone through and, like, circled all of the different faces that I think might be significant, even if they're not necessarily recognizable as a main character. Because some people are, you know, eyes closed, you know, whether that means dead or, you know, comatose or whatever. Some people are, like, staring, eyes open, like, dead, and some people are properly awake. So do you think there's anything, like, do you think that that's just like, oh, don't want to make everyone the same, or do you think that there's, like, symbolism in all of that?
I mean, I would always, like, side with symbolism. Because if they put this much effort into designing this painting, I would imagine they're going to lay as many clues in here as possible. I'm going through and I'm looking, and like Scott, Styles, Malia, Liam, Kira, Lydia all have their eyes open.
But then there's a couple of other things that have their eyes open too. Like there's a kind of, you know, a couple of like a weird half transformed thing up the top, or strange robot man under the pile kind of staring out. Do you know who that's meant to, what that's meant to be?
Strange robot man.
Right near the top of the pile. Very top okay. of the pile. Go down. Two white, like, glowing eyes. Looks a bit like Vision.
Oni. I think it's an Oni.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, I can't tell.
And I think the scary man with the crazy teeth is a Wendigo.
Okay. So why are these things, like, kind of surviving and showing us awake and stuff like that?
Right, because, you know, the sheriff has his eyes closed. Does that mean he's going to die?
Yeah, but Deaton's there with his eyes open and a little dead puppy on him, whatever that means. You know how Kira's got her fox spirit? Maybe Deaton is, like, secretly, like, a were-Pomeranian or whatever that thing is. Like, because there's no other... No, look, there's no other small animals. There's people who've got... There's plenty of wolves. There's, like, quite a few people that have got, like, there's these people over the side that I don't know if they're berserkers or what, but they've got, like, the wolf heads on them or the bear heads. I mean, they look like wolf heads to me, but the wolf, you know, the wolf skin hats, which is, and then there's some people that have got proper wolf, like, there's, right under the Jeep, there's, like, a guy sort of cuddling a wolf, and then there's another guy cuddling a wolf right below the Beacon Hills school sign.
I wonder if Dean's little animal with him is just supposed to be, like, representative of the fact that he's a veterinarian.
See, that's what I originally thought, but, you know, would they need that? Like, you know?
I like the idea of him being a were-Pomeranian, though. Yeah, so I'm down with that, I think. Yeah.
I also have made up in my head that the guy dragging the Beacon Hills sign, school sign, is Derek, but I don't know if it is. And then here, that's the thing. There's this one other guy who's awake. Those two men are kissing.
What?
Just above the Beacon Hills school sign.
Oh.
Okay,
so you think the guy with the white sort of ripped shirt is Derek?
No, the guy dragging the sign.
Oh, below him?
Without the shirt.
Oh,
that's just what I've made up for myself. But right to the side of that guy, there is a guy with a funny eye who is in a kind of the shirt tone is sort of pinkish, and he is awake and staring at the camera, and he has sort of blood on his chin. Do you recognize him?
Wait, where are we looking?
Beacon Hills school sign.
Okay.
Directly to the left.
Left. Oh.
He's just above Chris Argent. Like, he's between Chris Argent and the Beacon Hills school sign. And he seems to be quite detailed. Like, do we know who that is meant to be? Is that meant to be anyone of significance?
Because he's
the only other person properly looking at the camera.
Yeah. I've heard chatter, and I think this may have been the person that they were talking about, Aiden, because Aiden died with all that blood around his mouth.
That does not look like Aiden. Everyone else looks like the people. That's nothing like Aiden. So I'm going to question that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm also trying to see, like, what color shirt he was wearing when he died.
Yeah.
But I'm having trouble seeing, like, white.
We could be reading too much into this, who knows, but
I think you're meant to, though. You know what I mean?
Like, the fact that no one else is awake and really, like, and he doesn't look dead. He looks like he's engaging, like, his eyes look uneven. Like, one of them looks all, like, white and blown up, and one looks normal, but he looks like, with his good eye, he is engaging with the viewer as opposed to staring into dead air. So I'm quite curious about who that's meant to be, unless it's meant to be Theo, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a theory on who Theo could be, but where's this robot guy you said you were talking about?
Literally the top of the pile. Maybe it is the Oni, I don't know. Like, top of the pile. Like,
oh, right. Yeah, okay, sorry.
And he's kind of got a carved mask, you know.
Yeah, I do think that's him.
Yeah.
I also wonder if to the right of the Jeep, the person that's sort of hanging out upside down, is that meant to be Melissa? Because it looks like potentially a surgical mask.
Yeah, I think that, well, that's definitely Scrubs, yeah. I really like that little napping wolf under the Jeep. I mean, it's probably dead, but I really like
it. Is it a wolf or is it, it looks like a Labrador to me, like a dog, a regular dog.
I don't know. Why would
I was like, is this supposed to be Scott's dog?
I don't know.
Have you seen Coach yet with the whistle?
No, where's that?
Let me see if I can find him again. It's been a while. Okay. If you look at the very bottom, you know where Parrish is?
Well, I know where Parrish's dog tags are. Are they near him or are they not attached to him?
No. Okay, look at Lydia. The figure right below her, the charboiled.
Oh, yeah, the burned. Yeah, burned.
Parrish.
Yeah, yeah.
Go down another person. This guy has a whistle around his neck.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's meant to be Coach.
He's pretty ripped if he's Coach. I don't know. Yeah. Some of the other things that we, what do you think that, he's coming back, obviously, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Why are Parrish's dog tags not on Parrish? Like, what does it mean? And, like, are we going to get his army backstory? Like, who is this person who has Parrish's dog tags? So is his, like, old girlfriend going to come into the show or something like that?
I Yeah, I don't know. I hope we get his backstory. I've always been interested in his backstory. The Nemeton, I believe the Nemeton is right to the right of the dog tag. So I wonder if that's why they're there.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the person directly above the dog tags looks like Daryl from The Walking Dead.
The long hair, that mullety in front of the ears hair.
Yeah, but
I haven't seen that, but I know what you're talking about. Who you're talking about.
Who knows?
I don't like the wolf that's had its eyes ripped out directly below the dog tags. Like, what happened to that? Is that meant to be symbolizing a, you know, transformed person? Like, who is that that's had their eyes ripped out, you know?
I mean, my first instinct was that it was Deucalion, but...
Ooh, good point.
But I don't really know how that would necessarily be connected, because we've seen him as the demon wolf, but the demon wolf is like blue and weird.
But you know that Deucalion was like solid bro before he turned crazy, so maybe he does have the... It would be a bit of a like... It would be a bit of a wanky like situation to have, you know. I don't know how much people would like it if Deucalion was, you know, super evil, and then he got, you know, to the stage of, like, you know, redeemed of, like, you know, pure wolf form, you know, that he could potentially have without, like, really earning it, if you know what I mean. But maybe it's just his automatic form before he was the demon wolf, like, or before he was evil in general, and that he's reverted back to that or something like that.
Yeah. Now, we already talked about Deacon. Did you see poor, poor dead skeleton Allison?
Yeah, are we sure that's her? I mean, it's got the thing.
She's holding the necklace, the Beast of Javadon necklace.
How come she's a skeleton? No one else is a skeleton.
Because she's, like, been dead for so long.
But even random bodies aren't skeletons, if you know what I mean. She's the only skull.
There are some random skeletons.
Really?
Like, yeah, go down to the bottom. There's a skeleton with this arrow in its chest, and I've been trying to figure out who that
is. Yeah, I did actually see that. Yeah, that's true, and that's because that's really a really old skeleton. So that's good. There's another person, I don't know who it is, as well. Hang on, back to Allison. As I said, I think that they, you know, the people that are in the show that don't necessarily want to, like, or couldn't, for whatever reason, like, paint in their actual likeness. Like, they don't no longer have the, you know, right to use their likeness. They've found a way to put them in, like, either by turning them away from the camera or having it in, like, non-human form. And I guess, is that an outfit Allison ever wore? Like, that lace-up top?
I was wondering. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm sure we could find out, or if anybody has, links to...
Because I'm wondering if it's meant to be her... Or if it's meant to be, you know, ye olde Argent from the Beast of Javadon days, you know, maybe the one that, you know, forged the necklace or something. Like, if that's meant to be a legitimate peasant dress. But it is ringing bells as something, so I'm assuming it is her. But there's another girl just below Malia who's also sort of got her eyes open, but she's hanging upside down. Do we know who that is?
No, and she's definitely, like, holding somebody's arm, which we can't really see the person whose arm she's holding, but I thought that was interesting. I mean, because she's so detailed, and she has this mark across her neck.
Not Kate, is it? Looks nothing like Kate. I'm putting my head upside down. It does not look like Kate, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's interesting. I was thinking, like, Hayden at first.
Yeah, it could be Hayden. I don't know. I'm trying to work it out.
Interesting. Okay, continuing with our heroes, we have Chris with the shotgun.
Yeah, and he kind of looks not necessarily dead, but not necessarily alive either. He's kind of like... I don't think he's dead. I think that he's sort of just looking off to the side, and he's awake and alert, and he's,
he's definitely still clutching his shotgun.
Yeah.
So.
It's more than some people have got. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've already talked about him, but Charbroiled Parrish. He looks quite dead. His eyes are closed.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And he's black. He also kind of looks emaciated, but I don't know if that's meant to just be like the angle or the fact that this like isn't a super detailed painting. It's not like it's overly realistic.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty detailed in places, but there's a lot going on there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think, by the way, do you see the one that I thought was maybe Isaac, which is like where Scott's climbing out? And the one right below him.
Yeah.
Can you see Isaac in that face, or is that just me?
I mean,
clutching at straws.
I don't know. I really want Isaac to have a scarf. So unless
can I identify him.
Yeah, so unless I see a body with a scarf, it's not Isaac. I heard some people wondering if the person directly behind Scott is Jackson because of Jackson's white ripped shirt when he comes out of the water after being bitten.
With his back to Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there are also a couple other places where people have, like, whitish ripped shirts, so...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of theories about... Like, you know, who could be what and where and why and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend that you see the, let's see, go back to Scott, go up and over a little bit to the right. You see the red shoe.
Yeah.
The blonde person to the right of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend it's Spike.
Okay. You do that.
Okay.
From Buffy. He's fine from Buffy. You've just decided. He does look very bleach blonde, but, you know.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to villains, because there's quite a few villains throughout this, too. First one is Nagitsune. Up at the top, the bandaged man.
Yeah.
And he's holding, like, what is he even holding?
It looks like he's ripped a bit out of a fence and is coming for you with it.
Or could it be
a railing off of a staircase or something?
Yeah, or like the Jeep's grill or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he's thriving compared
That's
to
worrying.
Most of the other people. Yeah. So, I mean, all this death, I'm not surprised. But somebody who's not thriving is the Drock. The poor Drock's head is on a spike.
Yeah.
So that makes me sad because I love Haley / Jennifer. And then right below that, I didn't put this on the list, but the crow.
Yeah, it's really in focus and stuff. So I'm wondering if it's like, as I said, we've been expecting some sort of raven spirit, like, for a long time for various reasons. And, you know, maybe this is it.
Yeah. And, it looks like it's about to peck somebody's eye out, which is kind of gross.
Mm.
Then we have the Dread Doctors, which is back to Lydia. We see three of them here with the trepanation drill. And then some people were talking about...
Above
Styles. We've got this... This, yes, and Donovan, which I did not notice at first, but then Kristen pointed out to me the pipe through the chest. I was like, who would have had a pipe through the chest? And I was thinking it was, before I found him, it was Chris, because you know how Chris had that through him for a little while, like his stomach?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know who that is. And she was like, Donovan. And I was like, oh, God, that's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, above him... To the left of his outreached hand, we have another figure. A lot of people are wondering if this is a fourth Dread Doctor, which I think is very interesting.
Mm.
When I first saw it, I thought it was going to be something connected to, like, New Mexico, where Kira is going, because we see some sort of, like, indigenous spirity type people.
Yeah.
And I think the Oni come back, if I'm remembering correctly, and it looks very, like... Yeah, like a warrior's mask or something. But it's got this third round bit in the center of the forehead, which could be like a third eye.
Mm.
I don't know if this is like they're creating a new Dread Doctor and giving them Valak's third eye.
Yeah, it could be. It's a bit more colorful than the other ones. Like, it's got red and maybe that's just the light and stuff. But it looks like it's differently colored to the masks already on there. Maybe they're upgrading themselves.
Maybe, but like this little bit that's sticking out of the right hand side of like its chin area makes me think that it is like a gas mask.
Yeah,
which would mean, I would assume, that it's actually a Dread Doctor. But you're right, like it's definitely, and that's why I thought it was some sort of like indigenous spirity type thing, because it was so colorful. I thought it was like blue and red and like yellow in places, but it's got scary teeth too. Just pointing that out there. We talked about the Oni mask. Let's go to the Sluag, which is down on the left-hand side. It's underneath the bat and below Chris Argent. Some people are wondering if this is the Kanema, which I can see because it does look a bit scaly. But my argument that it's the Sluag is that this does not have a tail, as far as I can tell. And the way that it's grinning is very much like that creature's.
Yeah, I'm like, it's so smiley.
But it looks terrifying at the same time.
I think it looks cute. yeah, I don't think it's the Kanema, but I'm not sure. Is the man with the bugs on him, what did it look like when they got the distemper? Was it similar to that, or, like, I can't remember? If this is just meant to be, like, a history of stuff that's happened on Teen Wolf, or if it's meant to be, like, foreshadowing, or... Because, like, why one random person covered in that stuff?
Yeah, and his face is actually, I feel, quite detailed compared to some of the others, too.
Yeah.
I keep looking at all these random guys, and I'm like, that kind of looks like Danny. That kind of looks like Danny.
Oh, my God.
I feel like Danny's in this, like, 20 times as a dead person.
Yeah.
Did you see Rave Wolf's claws?
Yeah, that was a random thing to include.
Yeah. I love that you can't even, like, see him. You just see his claws. It's pretty funny. But it's near Chris, and they're glowing. His real name's Belasco, but I refuse to call him anything but Rave Wolf.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's a very good life ethic.
Carry yeah.
on as we began with Rave Wolf.
The White Wolf with its gouged out eyes, we talked about that. We talked about Valak. The people you were mentioning before, which is actually right near Rave Wolf's claws, the ones in the
headdress,
the like hides,
skin.
Yeah. My initial thought was that they were berserkers because berserkers used to walk around with the hides of animals, and then they would like suck in their animalistic powers. Yeah, but I know there's also been talk of okay. Slight rant here. There's also been talk of skinwalkers. I don't remember now if that's an official thing, because I've read so many articles on a website that I will not name that are not just inaccurate, but are boldly outright lies, completely made up stories and interviews and posing theories as actual information from season 5B.
About Teen Wolf specifically, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't remember if skinwalkers are actually a thing, or...
I've never heard them mentioned in the Teen Wolf world, ever.
In that case...
They're obviously a thing in mythology in general, but it's kind of a, you know, I think it's Native American... And it's kind of like a transformation thing, you know, for turning into an animal, but it's not the same as being a werewolf. It's like a different thing.
Right. In that case, I do think that these are meant to be berserkers, which would put them, you know, once again in with the villains and everything. And then, lots of dead wolves, which is slightly concerning.
The only thing that makes me wonder about them being berserkers is it's not the way that we did berserkers when we saw them. They had the skull helmet. We never saw anything with the skin hat, you know? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Could be something new for season 5B because there are some clues throughout this. We'll get to some of the ones we noticed. But who knows? Like, it could be an homage to the berserkers. It could be a reference to something that we have yet to see.
Yeah. No idea.
So moving on to little details and just kind of other things that we've noticed, of course, right next to these berserkers are is Styles' bat, which is broken.
Aww.
So that's sad and concerning. And then, of course, we have Roscoe the Jeep, which, yeah, is also sad. I would like to point out the bluish-gray area above and to the left of the Jeep, that was our bit.
Yeah. Did it have any bit of the Jeep in the corner that we didn't know was the Jeep? It was just a bit of
it was like super boring, yeah.
Thanks, MTV. You could have given us a good one to reveal. No offense. No, it's fine.
Yeah. Let's see, what other little details?
How much would have you freaked out if we'd got one, just a square that included, like, just the Nigitsune or something, and you're like, what? He's back? Yeah, like, why is this happening?
I would have definitely freaked out.
Yeah.
So maybe it's better that they just gave us a bit of the sky. Down at the bottom, to the right-hand side, this is sort of near the wolf with the gouged-out eyes. There's yellow wolfsbane, at least I'm assuming wolfsbane.
Yeah, there's a plant, and there's not plant anywhere else. There's a little bit of flowers. Yeah.
And what was the deal with the yellow wolfsbane? It was, like, more potent than regular wolfsbane.
I will find out for you, but yes, I do remember that being a thing. So normal is purple, obviously. What was that one they mentioned a few times? Blue Nordic. But yeah, they introduced this in Yellow Wolfsbane. They did mention it, I believe, in season 4. And that's right. And they put it on the... Okay, yeah. They put it on the blade in IED, the one with where Liam has a thing, as a means of paralyzing a victim. You know, because they ran out of cannon of, you know, venom, I guess. So apparently it can cause paralysis. So it's a very, I don't know if that's like worse than just killing it. If you know, like if it means that the purple is actually killing them and yellow is technically weaker or does something specific, or if it is meant to be stronger. So I'm not 100% sure, but specifically we saw it used for paralysis. I can't remember on who exactly, but I can probably find out. So...
I just remember they were, like, growing it in that warehouse.
Yeah, like, it was, like, a hydroponic, like, you know, thing. And hang on. So it was actually used by those creepy, like, pretend teenagers when they were hunting people on the,
Right.
The kill, you know, the benefactors list. So yes. I think it was Brett that got paralyzed. In the lacrosse game. So, because I remembered someone getting paralyzed in the lacrosse game, and I couldn't remember if it was Liam or whatever, but no, it was Brett. And he is, because he was on the list, obviously. They used it to paralyze him, but we haven't seen it since. So I don't know the significance of that.
Right, if it could be coming back or, yeah. Okay. If you go back to poor dead skeletal Allison, and you look above her, we see Styles' name written out on, I don't know, at first I was like, is it a grave? But then Kristen was like, well, it's not really etched, it's like written. And I don't know if it's supposed to be like glass, and it's written on glass, or I saw somebody else say that, I don't know.
Like, are we sure that this is all intentional and this guy isn't just like filling space? Like, why would you fill the space by writing the random name of the character? Like, that's insane.
I don't think that it's random for that exact reason. Some other people are saying maybe it's a book and this is written on it. And then if you look at the person directly underneath that, like, it definitely doesn't look like Styles. I know we already have Styles, but I don't know if something could be related to
help, like, you know, it kind of, yeah, like, oh, Styles, help me. Like, is their last message or something?
That's tragic.
Yeah.
One of the biggest parts of this, and the ones that's got people really chattering about it, is if you go back to Liam and then look to the right of him on the stones, we have a septagram which is a seven-pointed star, and this one is within a circle. Now, this is usually a pagan symbol. It's been used in Christianity, and it represents number seven, obviously, which has its own set of meanings. But this is also, like, it can be used for protection. It can be used for a lot of different things, depending on where it originated and how it's used. Do you have any other theories? Because at the moment, I feel like this doesn't really tell us anything, but it's clearly supposed to be a major clue.
There's one on the Australian flag. That's all I got for you.
Okay, just maybe so, we're going to Australia
just so
next.
So you know, there's a septagram on the Australian flag. Because, yeah, we have a constellation of five stars that is a very famous constellation that you can see from from Australia and not very many other places in the world, and then a big star, big seven-pointed star, because we have seven states in Australia. So it's like your 50 stars, except it's just 7 points on one star. That's all I know about septagrams, so...
Oh, you know what else? I was just going back to the Wikipedia page to see if I could garner anything else. The seven-pointed star is incorporated into the flags of various bands of the Cherokee Nation and the badges of Navajo Nation Police. So this has Native American ties.
Okay, that's... could be.
If we're talking about skinwalkers, if we're talking about, like, raven spirits, that all ties in.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I would be so into that. Please, Teen Wolf, do that.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, this is a very delicate thing because there may be people listening to this who have this way of life, but in general, I 100% do not. So it says that, yeah, apparently one of the heptagrams, a particular type of them, the 7-3, which is very similar to what we, this exact shape of the heptagram, because there's different ways you can do it, like different ways that you can make the point. So this one is apparently sometimes used. It's used by some members of other kin subculture as an identifier. And do you know what other kin are?
I do not.
There's no way I'm going to be able to tell you this without sounding really judgmental, but I'm going to, like, go out on a limb and say that we don't have any people who listen to us who are of this lifestyle. They are people who... okay. You know how some people, you know how there are people out there who kind of, and they're kind of like, we don't like them. We kind of are like, no, you are wrong. This is a stupid thing. Who are like, for example, white, but say they identify as black. So therefore they are black because it just means that much to the black culture or whatever. Like, you know, like that crazy woman on the news, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
These are people, other kin are people who identify as partially or entirely non-human. As in that they believe they really are a wolf or they believe they are really a mythological creature or something like that. And it's not like just something in theory. It's something that people, like, believe, like, genuinely in life, if you know what I mean. And I don't know how much it affects their day-to-day life. Some people a lot and some people not a lot. But that is a thing, basically. So, and I don't know how much that ties into, like, you know, the people that walk around wearing tails and stuff on purpose, but
yeah,
that is a thing. So it might be, you know, we've had the clinical lycanthropy thing with, you know, the dad, you know, Scott's, he's not his real dad. I mean, his real dad, not his Teen Wolf dad, you know, with Dr. What's-His-Face, and so that they've kind of identified the clinical lycanthropy versus the, you know, real lycanthropy. So I don't know if this is in any way something that the show would ever tackle, but apparently but that is a thing that some people believe, like, you know, they believe they're a vampire or they believe that they're really a wolf spirit or something like that, like, you know, and it's a little bit intense for me. Like, it's not like fun and games in fandom. It's legitimately something that these people... believe about themselves, and it's not something that I think is super sane, but never mind. Sorry if there's anyone that offends, but it's pretty universally weird, I think. We can safely say that it's not something that is, you know, a particularly accepted lifestyle choice. But that symbol's used by them too, so.
Okay.
This is a show
hopefully...
about supernatural, you know, and people not knowing about it or knowing about it. Maybe there's going to be a weird cult of, like, humans who, like, know about the supernatural and who believe that they are that, if you know what I mean. And then Scott and Lydia are like, yeah, no, you're not really that. Sit down. So, yeah. I don't know.
Let's hope it has to do more with the Native American version.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Okay, another big one that people were really looking into is the guy with the scroll. And he is above Sheriff Stilinski and a little bit to the right by the lacrosse stick. And he's holding a scroll that reads Damnatio Memoriae. And this is Latin for condemnation of memory. And it's sort of like a title given to traitors. And it had like traitors, not like traders, like people who betrayed you. And this was given like during Roman times and stuff like that. The person holding him, this is my theory that it's Theo, because one, I don't know if we've really noticed Theo, and even though this guy doesn't look like Theo, Theo did betray everybody. We knew that he was a bad guy from the beginning, but not everybody else did. Yeah. And the only other character that they've talked about not being able to trust is Kira, and obviously Kira's not a dude. So, I mean, at least we know of.
This person could be in the process of delivering that to, like, nail it to the forehead of whoever it's for. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be the person holding it. But, you know, when we were talking about the circles of hell, you know, we had Theo in, I think he was, like, fraud, and then Kira was above him as treachery, as, like, the worst circle of hell. So, still don't know what that's about.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a pretty detailed lacrostic that's right behind his head.
Yeah.
Does Theo play lacrosse?
Maybe.
We don't know, right?
I don't know because if we've had that, yeah.
We didn't have lacrosse in 5A, and that's the only time we've seen Theo. So we don't know if he does.
Maybe.
But I feel like the lacrostic is... Oh, maybe. Because I feel like the lacrosse stick is, like, attached to him. I mean, the main part of it is very much, like, touching his shoulder and everything. So, and the end of it is kind of, somebody's got their arm around it, but you can't see who it is necessarily. Interesting. And then, let's see, I think this was the last big detail, is across the bottom of the painting, we see the bestiary pages scattered amongst the dead bodies. And you can't necessarily read anything or, like, see pictures of what's there. There are a couple where, like, I see a face. That could be maybe a dread doctor or something else. I don't know there, but it's all across the bottom of the painting.
It is the bestiary. I didn't know whether it was that or.
I think so. You know, it either could be that, or it could be the book Lydia was reading when she figured out that Parrish was a hellhound.
Yeah.
I don't know either. But like we said before, there are so many details in this painting, so many faces that are probably minor characters that we aren't even aware of. I still have a lot of questions. Like, I really want to know who that skeleton is with the arrow through its chest. It could just be representative of, like, somebody Allison killed, or, and not necessarily like a bad thing, but there's a lot of little minor faces where I'm like, is that meant to be somebody? And, oh, near the top, too, two things I wanted to point out. One, there's a wolf eating somebody's foot, which is, for me, the most disgusting part of this painting. I don't know why, but it really grosses me out. And then, right near the Negitsune, you have this person's shoe, which has a little lion symbol on it.
Yeah.
And I think this could just be, like, I don't know. The shoe is sticking out. It's very prominent. It's next to the Nigitsune, so you're going to notice it. It's very clearly got a symbol on it, whereas, like, none of the other shoes do.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a clue. Symbol.
Like, you know, I don't know why on earth anyone would bother putting that in, but yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so that makes me wonder if it's, like, another clue.
This is making me feel crazy, like just analyzing like all of this stuff. Yeah. It's like crazy. We're going, oh, does this
lie? The more I stare at it,
this? Like it's not gonna mean anything. Like who are these two kissing men? Like, why is that happening?
The more I stare at it, the more I swear I see words in some of the like swishes of paint.
Don't even go there, Karen.
Go back to the lacrosse stick, that little swish of red paint near the handle, I swear it says wear, as in like W-E-R-E, but
the only thing I wondered was the thing around Sheriff Stilinski, that cable, is that like just his radio cable, or is that like a weird word, like, you know, like, I did wonder that earlier, like, is it just his
cable? I think it's his radio cable.
Like, yeah.
Because I think, really, that's the most prominent thing on him that kind of shows no that it's badge. The sheriff. They don't have his badge on him. Yeah. And I've also heard chatter of people comparing the low-res pieces that we put together versus the high-quality version that Teen Wolf put out, and how there are a couple of changes, and there are instances where people have seen Styles and Scott's faces in more than one place.
Maybe that was an accident. I don't know.
Yeah. But there's a lot. There's a lot here. And I'll be curious if anybody noticed anything else. If you have print than ours, feel free to share them. This is really interesting to me. Obviously, right up my alley. So, happy to continue talking about it. But I'm also really interested, come the end of season 5B, returning to this painting and seeing what
Well, that didn't matter at all, whatever.
Yeah, we're like, oh, that totally meant something, and I didn't realize it. And yeah, did we talk about the human heart that's sitting near Lydia?
We didn't. No.
So that's another concerning thing.
And do we know where this came from?
See,
like the artist?
No, not that I know of. I'd really like to find out. I know for a fact it's not Swan Smith, who has done a lot of Teen Wolf art before. Yeah, this was not his. But like you were talking about, the more you look at it, the more you see things. I'm noticing now, like, people's hands and how they're positioned and how, like, Lydia's hands are really blurry and Coach's hands are strangely detailed. And, like, are they supposed to be pointing to things? Like, what does it all mean?
I don't know. The big thing about this is that, as well, that, you know, we're talking about, like, Dante's Circles of Hell, and this, the symbolism, if this was a Renaissance painting, like, you know, like a Hieronymus Bosch, or like, you know, any painting, basically, any of these big, massive tableaus that were done then, every single aspect would be purposeful symbolism. That is exactly how they worked back then, if you know what I mean. So if we are still tying into the, like, Dante's Circles of Hell, Renaissance era, everything like that, then it is likely that every single piece could be symbolic, because that is how they used to roll with giant, gross paintings of hell like this. So, yeah.
Yeah, which is why I've been looking at it so closely, because I'm like, why would they paint this in here if it just doesn't mean anything? And there are areas that are definitely, like, not as detailed, that are blurred out, that you can kind of just skim over because, oh, it's just supposed to show, like, more dead bodies, basically, so that you can get the idea that there are a lot of dead people here.
Yeah.
But then there'll be, like, this random face that is really detailed and realistic, yeah. And you're like, it's like, gotta mean
is
something.
Is this someone that we're meant to know about? Like, yeah.
Yeah. But that basically brings us to the end of the painting.
It's a lot of painting.
It is a lot of painting. I really want, like, a huge version of this for my wall.
No, you don't. Really? Yes, I do. That's miserable, Karen.
It's so beautiful, though.
But miserable.
So?
Well, I don't know.
You could make it your computer screensaver.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Anyway, it's gigantic and horrible, so, you know, if you get one, your house will be a dark and morbid place. It'll go really well with all your Funkos.
Yes. Yes, it will.
Okay. Is there anything else about this? Do we have any kind of commentary on it, or, from others, like any feedback, or did we want to, say anything else about it before we finish up?
I don't think so.
Okay. We just had a few people on Twitter as it was coming together about, people's bits that upset them and stuff like that. Like, and also it's worth commenting, as we mentioned before, how crazy it is that the fandom, activated to put it together and all of that kind of thing. Like, it's lucky that they got all of the pieces, that it wasn't just... that like half of the people weren't like, nah, don't want to share, but I think everyone kind of got the message or about what to do. And I don't know how they picked the accounts, but presumably people they knew would work together. But imagine being that guy. Imagine sitting at MTV being like, gotta make a list of 100 like fan accounts that we know about that we can send this to. Like that would be But yeah, I think Marge mentioned with a sad face, so many animals in that pile of dead, which was the same for me. I was like, what are all of the animal spirit, animals? Are they spirits? Are they just meant to be animals that are included, as I said, Deaton's Pomeranian? Maybe that's meant to be Scott's dog that died, the small dog. Because I've got a feeling that dog was meant to be a small dog. But, the wolves and all that kind of stuff, obviously Kira's fox. And yeah, it's just an intense experience, basically, the whole painting altogether. So yeah, I'm sure that some of it is going to mean quite a lot, but I also think that if we think about it much more, we're going to go crazy.
Yes. Let's stop staring at all our dead faves.
Yeah. All our dead faves. Good times. Okay, all right, so we will finish up this episode now, and we'll see you again later in the week with another much less depressing episode. And then, next weekend we'll have something else to put together for you. Obviously, we've still got quite a few weeks till the premiere, so we've got a few ideas to work on for the episodes in the following couple of weeks as well. And there's no other particularly big news. This is the biggest news about Teen Wolf at the moment, I suppose.
Yep.
That's about it. If you want a little piece of Teen Wolf, kind of tangential Teen Wolf news, Tyler Hoechlin, obviously one of the reasons that he, chose to step away from Teen Wolf for a while was to focus on a different path of entertainment, which he was doing some independent films. He's done, I think, two or three, but one of them, which has been talked about before as being called That's What I'm Talking About, is actually renamed at the moment, because I've been going through lists of movies coming out for 2016 for something with Hyperball. It's been renamed as Everybody Wants Some, and it's by director Richard Linklater, who has he's an Oscar winning director, and it sounds like from the promo that it's getting from it's and stuff like that, that is, this movie is going to be quite a big deal. This is not going to be a small movie that no one sees. This is going to be a relatively big movie, and he's one of the more well-known people in it. The cast is all kind of semi-unknown television kind of people, so things could get quite exciting for him with this movie, so that should be interesting. He obviously won the Oscar last year for Boyhood,
But he's also done, like, you know, teen dramas like Dazed and Confused. So that's just a bit of a tangential Teen Wolf cast news. Look out for this movie coming out called Everybody Wants Some. It's due out, I think, in April next year. And it's actually going to be a really big project for him. So that should be interesting to see how that's received by the world. And if Tyler Hoechlin gets to go to the Oscars, probably not, but we'll see, you know. But yeah, that's my little piece of news to contribute for this week. All right. If there's nothing else that you need to report, Karen, we can wrap it up.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm good.
All right. Until next time, we have and will always continue to be Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. And we'll see you guys, later in the week again with another new episode, I think. So, bye-bye.
Bye.
There's a tiny little, is that Deaton? I just enlarged the picture, the very high res version. And for some reason, the zoom that it like focused around. I think it's Deaton. There's a dead guy, black guy, and he has a little curled animal, not like Kira's fox, like. But like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, is that Deaton? Because the little animal is cute, but I don't want it to be dead.
I think it's just sleeping.
Sure. I think you're going to be saying that about a lot of people in this painting, aren't you? All right.